Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Thursday, August 16th. How is everybody doing on this Thursday? I had a great birthday. Thanks for those who wished me a happy birthday. Thanks for those who listened, which is just as much of a happy birthday present. Our guy Clayton subscribed to our Patreon, which you guys could do too on Snowtap Gaming. Always really appreciate all that good stuff, guys. Much appreciated on all accounts. Happy to be back today. Talk about the Packers preseason game number duh. And then talk about the Brewers. Are they at fault for where they are right now in the standings and how things are shaping up? And then a little review on some of the things that I've currently finished streaming. And a little embarrassment on my end where I have to sort of eat the trash, if you will. All right, so something I had promised a little while back, basically that one-stop shop for all podcast things on snowtapwy.com. It's here. It is the Snowtap Network tab. You can go there. You can hit the Snowtap Network tab, and you have everything. You have all tapping the kegs. You have all daily taps from the month of August. I'm going to hopefully trudge through, get at least the last 3 months up so you guys have like a wide range. And who knows, maybe even more. But it's really a good way for you guys just to keep your podcast. If you're not ready to subscribe, if this is your first time listening, if this is your first like week, few, you're not really into podcasting and you just want to have like a one-stop shop place to go, that is a perfect option for you. And that'll all be available here on snowtapwy.com. So visit there. And if you do want to subscribe, we'll find a way to put a link out there to get you iTunes, Google Play, or hit us up on Twitter or anything like that. But yes, you can search on iTunes and it's right there. Search on Google Play, it's right there. Same with Stitcher, all taken care of there. So thought I'd let you guys know that. Also, too, the podcast schedule will be a little more consistent starting next week. Think good things have happened, and there is such a day job that exists now for your boy. So happy to have that in my life. Happy to have a little more consistency, and definitely get back to the day-to-day grind as well as the podcast grind and the writing grind, all of that. All right. Speaking of grind, we are now at game number two for the preseason. Almost said training camp there. But it is game number two, Packers-Steelers, the last one at Lambeau Field before the Packers play the Chicago Bears on September 9th. So almost a month hiatus. The Packers will have a fuller arsenal than last time around. Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Graham expected to play. We'll talk about those guys in a second here. But in terms of a what to watch for, I think you still want to keep an eye on the wide receivers. Andy Herman, Scotty Sports on Twitter, did a great job breaking down the 53-man roster a couple days ago and included seven wide receivers. I think seven wide receivers are going to be a part of this team. I'm convinced of that. It'll be interesting to see who comes in, who plays with Rodgers. I think it would be smart for Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin to rotate guys as much as possible so that every receiver gets a shot with Rodgers in the time that he's playing. We have no idea how long Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I've advocated that Rodgers should play, you know, more today than next Friday night against Oakland, because I feel that would be more beneficial in a better terrain, better stadium than having to play at Oakland Alameda where everything is like sand. And I don't know. I worry more about injury in that stadium than I do at Lambeau Field. I know some fans are like, he should only play a series. I get that concern, but at the same time, I'm more of the belief that one game needs to sort of be that sort of practice, if you will. So we'll see what Mike McCarthy ends up doing. We'll see how much those receivers show out. I think you can't, like, if Valdez-Scantling shows out today, he probably makes a case to be the fourth wide receiver or even the third wide receiver on this team. If Jamon Moore has a big game, if Equanimeous St. Brown have a big game, you know, they separate themselves. Obviously, Jake Kumerow, who everyone obviously loves and some have called the next Jordy Nelson, He has a big game. He could be. I mean, that's the fun thing about this wide receiver competition is we may see things from last week and be like, okay, yeah, that fits right in. But if there's something new or Valdez-Scantling drops passes and, you know, he's had some issues with drops, maybe that becomes an issue. So we'll see what happens there. And that'll be fun to watch. I do am interested to see how the cornerbacks play. Jaire Alexander, I believe, is going to play. I don't think Kevin King will be out there. Josh Jackson had a really good week of practice. We'll see if that continues. It'll be fun to watch those guys play against Juju Smith-Schuster. No Antonio Brown, no Ben Roethlisberger, but they'll get to play Juju. James Washington, obviously, hell of a talent as a rookie. So the Packers' corners will get challenged in this game from guys like Mason Rudolph and Landry Jones. But yeah, no Big Ben. I assume the Packers are going to feast on the rookie quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if the defense plays really well, or if, you know, if the Steelers do carve him up a little bit. I don't know if that's cause for concern. It depends on how much you want to put stock into preseason. I put a little stock into preseason, but I don't like dump the whole chicken stock in, if you get my drift. So it'll be a good test for these corners against a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster and also two players like James Washington. I do want to see how the offensive line does protecting Aaron Rodgers, especially when you're dealing with guys like Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt off the edge. I mean, isn't it a given that T.J. Watt will have a sack in this game just to really rub it in, you know, the Packer fans who say, oh, we should have drafted T.J. All those cocksuckers, yes. And I will present Reggie Gilbert, who I think is going to be a star. But we'll see how the Packers do in terms of protecting Rodgers. Probably no Brian Bulaga at right tackle, so you'll probably see Kyle Murphy. I'm not sure, is David Bakhtiari? David Bakhtiari is back practicing. I don't know if Bakhtiari is going to get the call at left tackle. Be interested to see what kind of offensive line they present. And I think that might dictate how long we see Rodgers in the game. If Bulaga and Bakhtiari are set to play in game three, well, maybe that's part of the reason why they're going to play Rodgers more, even in that litter pan of a stadium. And like we've said for a while here, Rodgers and Graham playing is very exciting. I think Aaron Rodgers just getting the chance to watch Rodgers play and be surgical, hopefully in a fun first couple drives, would be great. Obviously, if you know it's three and outs, I think people will overreact because that's what people do with Aaron Rodgers. They hang on everything Aaron Rodgers does and says, and you know, a lot like what Jalen Ramsey went through yesterday. Grant, Jalen Ramsey did not say Aaron Rodgers sucked. Appreciate you, Jalen. But at the same time, it is a thing. Like anything that Aaron Rodgers does, says, acts, like if he's like cussing out receivers tonight, it'll be a big fucking deal tomorrow. We'll talk probably about it on the podcast because the Aaron Rodgers drives the needle. He drives excitement. You know, I watched sparingly and got, you know, sort of watched sort of the highlights of the Titans-Packers game. I watched a good amount, but still wasn't dialed in. I'm a little more dialed in to watch Aaron Rodgers in the first. That's the kind of the effect. It's like Tiger Woods with golf, right? If Aaron Rodgers is involved, you're watching. I think more people are probably willing to attend this preseason game, and Rodgers said it as much. Like, I want to be there for the fans who haven't seen me since late September of last year. It's almost been a year since Aaron Rodgers has stepped foot at Lambeau Field, which is crazy to think about, but it is true. So Rodgers will be out there and should be fun. Hopefully he gets Jimmy Graham involved. Obviously, I'd love to see a lot of the young receivers get their reps with Rodgers as well as Devontae Adams. I think it's going to be a really exciting game. I don't know if Randall Cobb's going to play, but should be a fun one at Lambeau today. And we'll be back on Daily Tap tonight after the game is over. We'll do a podcast so you guys have that first thing in the morning. So instead of worrying about how the radio and dealing with commercials on local sports radio, you just have to plug in your podcast, listen to it on your way to work, and then you get all the Packer news you need. And who knows, maybe some other things as we talk. Because it's not just the Packer podcast. it's not like we're going to, but we try to get as much information for you in a short amount of time. So you don't have to worry about, oh, a topic's coming up in an hour and I can't really stream radio at my work desk. All right, moving on to the Brewers. So Brewers lose Wednesday. Junior Guerra's home road splits showed out on Wednesday. Guerra continues to struggle on the road. His ERA is over 5 now on the road. He continues to deal with problems with lefties as Anthony Rizzo and Jason Hayward ate him up. Brewers were poorly positioned, I think, throughout the game. You know, there were shifts that the Cubs beat, not like through bunts, but just hit them where the Brewers weren't. And they also had some flies that dropped in. The Eric Thames error led to another run. Just sort of, I think the Brewers could have won this game. They just had some misfortunes, unfortunately. And now they're 2-3 on this road trip. They have a St. Louis Cardinals matchup where a month ago you might have said, oh, I mean, the Cardinals were being thought of as sellers at the deadline a month ago. Now the St. Louis Cardinals are contending for a wild card spot and even the division. They are one game back of the wild card. They win tonight, they will be a half game back of either the Phillies or the Brewers, pending on results. And you just wonder, you know, are the Brewers at fault for putting themselves in this situation? You know, the Brewers had themselves a lead. They lose, you know, 5 straight games to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They had a terrible sort of road trip, and that sort of set the tone. So are the Brewers to blame? And I'm not ready to go out on that limb. I mean, in a way, they did it to themselves. I'm not denying that at all. The Brewers should be held accountable in that vein. But at the same time, it's hard to like blame a team because losing streaks happen. You know, what's to say that the Chicago Cubs, who are playing the Pittsburgh Pirates this weekend, what's to say the Cubs don't go on like an 8-game losing streak and all of a sudden the Brewers, you know, flip them out? I mean, look at the Houston Astros. Houston Astros did win last night 12-1. But the Astros are in a pennant race with the Oakland A's. They play the Oakland A's this weekend. And it wasn't supposed to be a race. The A's were just supposed to get a wild card. Now there's actually an AL race worth talking about in the West as the Astros are 2 games up on the A's, who did lose. So the Brewers are there. I mean, the wild card is going to be a fight. I mean, look at right now, you have 4 or 5 teams that are right there. So obviously Brewers and Phillies. I believe the Brewers the Brewers and Phillies are tied from a head-to-head perspective, right? Yeah, I think the Brewers won 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia. Philadelphia won 2 out of 3 at Miller Park. So you have to then, I think, look at division record and things like that. But we won't get into that right now. So the Cardinals are 1 back. The Rockies are 2.5 back. The Dodgers are 2.5 back. And the Pirates, who gave up the farm for Chris Archer, are 6 back and probably out of this race. I would say it would take a lot for the Pirates, Giants, or Nationals to make this a thing again. They are pretty far out of this race. I would say they're worth considering, but you have to look at the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are a legit contender right now, and they obviously needed a coaching change. It obviously helped them a great deal. They've caught some teams at the right time. You know, playing Kansas City helps. Playing the Nationals where they are right now helps a lot. Brewers get a dose of Washington at the end of the month in Washington, where the Nationals could be just completely in the tank at that point. But I am probably going to dive in on SoTap WI today on the Cardinals schedule. And can they really, you know, is this going to be difficult for them, or are they going to be a contender? And could it be a Brewers-Cardinals wildcard game, which would tear me apart? Because obviously Cardinals ended the Brewers last time they were in the playoffs, and they could do it again. I mean, it's really a possibility. I do think the Braves are separating themselves in the NL East, so it could be the Phillies as well. Did want to mention, worth talking about, the Ronald Acuna thing really quick. Like I said on Twitter yesterday, I think it's a fuckboy move by Jose Urania. I get pitching him close and pitching him in and sort of, not even a brushback, but sort of, you know, having that, but I don't think there's really a point to be hitting someone directly on an elbow, a part of the body that, you know, if you're going to send a message, do it kind of the right way. it was clear the I don't think the Marlins asked for him to do it. They kind of said, like, look, he did this on his own. I think it would be mighty big of Miami, who has nothing to play for, to suspend him for the rest of the season or send him down to AAA and say he's done. He'll pitch in AAA the rest of the year. We're sending him down. We don't have any tolerance for him. Essentially like an Antonio Callaway suspension like Hard Knocks did, where, you know, you're basically playing him, but he's playing in AAA or he's getting sent to single-A until that their season's over. I don't know. Do something to sort of send that message to Urania that this shit isn't tolerated. It was Bush League. It just, there was no place in baseball for it, as people say. Baseball has a lot of work to do, man. They are so antiquated in the way that people play the game and playing the game the right way, as some say. They have a lot of fucking work to do in that regard. All right, so to go from sports to streaming TV, I finished two shows worth the review, I felt. Glow, I finished season two, so if you've watched Glow, recommend, or you're not finished with season two, recommend turning it off. We'll see you tomorrow. Glow, you know, season two wasn't as good as season one. I think season one was sort of a tour de force of really good television, and it seemed like they were just trying too hard to, like, fit storylines, and they just didn't necessarily blend. I mean, why didn't we get more of Ruth and her relationship with, was it Rusty? Rusty and Aunt Sam kind of having now interest in Ruth, and I know that sets up season three, but there wasn't enough of Ruth. I think Allison Brie, there was too little of Allison Brie involved. And I really think that that needed to be more of a thing. I think the idea of Debbie collapsing and then sort of regaining strength, I would have loved it if Debbie just completely lost her shit and went off the reservation. I just think there were easy outs at different points. They just sort of punted on potential storylines, and I don't know if that was right. I mean, the Bash and his mother thing was really interesting, and then he marries Rhonda or Britannica, whatever you prefer. I don't know. I just thought they cut too many corners in the show. It's good. I'll watch season three, but at some point, I don't know. You need to, like, have that legit glow up. Like, at some point, you can't just be a run of a mill. I'm sure it ends with some of these people are WWE wrestlers or whatever, or WWF at that time. I don't know. Maybe they appear at WrestleMania. I don't know. Maybe that's how the show ends. Embarrassingly, I finished The Sopranos. So funny story about that. So for whatever reason, I thought there were 9 seasons of The Sopranos. I have no idea where I got that there were 9 seasons of The Sopranos. None. And so I'm finishing season 6B, which is the last, and the Fade to Black and everything like that. And I knew the Fade to Black stuff happened. Like, I mean, how can you not, right? So I knew that was going to happen. But then I was like, oh, we still have, like, a couple more seasons to play this out. And it's like, no, it is done. Like, and some people years ago have had issues with how it ended. And I'm okay with it. I am a little curious about, you know, Tony broke away from his therapist. His therapist and him break up. Tony was getting investigated, but he never really had that fight with the FBI that, you know, Johnny Sack had or, you know, Jackie Aprile had. Like, that just never really became that big of a storyline. You know, killing Phil Lombardo in the gas station and shooting him in the head and having the car roll over his face was fucking awesome. Christopher Molisani dying. I mean, It was interesting to see how it all played out. And you just have to wonder if James Gandolfini doesn't tragically pass away a few years ago. He's been gone now for, I think, almost 10 years, right? I'd have to look it up. But if he didn't pass away, would we have seen a Sopranos reboot? I mean, you don't really want to fuck with perfection. Would James Gandolfini have been a part of Boardwalk Empire, which was David Chase's next show that he did? Would they have done a Sopranos spinoff with Meadow, maybe? And maybe Meadow's a mob wife? And, you know, granted, she had all this career and everything going, but maybe she's a mob wife and Tony's retired at the time. You know, how would you have seen a reboot? There has not been, I will say this, and we're going a little long, so I apologize. But we've not seen a reboot. We have not seen a good gangster television show. I mean, I know Boardwalk Empire gets highly acclaimed. It's on a laundry list of television shows that I'm willing to stream. But we have not seen a good Italian gangster show since. That has not been a thing. We just have not seen a good mob show. I mean, I would be fascinated. They've done it in movies with The Departed and, was it Black Mass, with the Boston Mob. I think the Boston Mob, I don't know, Boston to me as a backdrop fascinates me. I think doing like an Irish mob TV show would be tremendous. I know the Black Donnellys was a thing for like a year on NBC. I think you got to bring some sort of mob show back. I think that we're ready for it. I don't know, maybe it's because I enjoyed The Sopranos so much. Thought it was great television. You can see why it's a top television show for a lot of people. I would definitely consider it one of the best things I've watched. And now it's on to other things. So I have this list, and I don't know if you guys do it like I do. So I kind of try to watch two shows at once because, I don't know, it's hard for me to really, if I'm really into a show, I'll go all in and just watch it. And now that I don't have to do as much about job searching, I have a little more time to sort of hang out, right? So now on my list is Stranger Things in Atlanta. I watched the first episode of Stranger Things this morning. Really good. Going to watch the second, maybe the third today. And then I'll check out Atlanta, which I watched a little bit on a plane ride a few years ago. Really liked. I like Donald Glover a lot. And going to get into Atlanta. If you do have shows, I have a bunch. Like I have like 60. And it's like old and new. I can obviously share it, you know, in some way. But if you do have shows that you'd like to recommend, newer ones obviously would be appreciated. I put Sinner on my list, which is getting a lot of hype. I've also put Mindhunter, Godless, Safe, Altered Carbon. I was looking through Netflix this morning, can you tell? And Ozark, which I'm kind of, I know a lot of people love it, but the reviews were not great. I mean, that's one I think I'm going to have to see for myself. But yeah, those are all on the list. So yeah, hit me up if you have shows that you're willing to watch. My girlfriend and I are watching West Wing. She really likes it. I actually really like it too. It's been a good, but that is a fucking haul. 22 episodes, 6 seasons, every season. Oh, that's like 12 seasons of an HBO show. So we'll get through it though, and I'll have reviews on that. All right, sorry it went long today. You know, we try to strive for 20 minutes, but I do like talking about TV, so hope you guys hung on. If you didn't, not a big deal, but if you did, we'll be back to talk about Packers preseason, maybe a little Free Talk Friday, obviously preview Brewers Cardinals, look at what's the realistic expectation playing a red-hot team. Friday, I think, is a very important game for the Brewers, no matter what happens with the Cardinals on Thursday night against Washington. So we'll talk then. SnowTap Network on SnowTap WY. Just hit the tab. You'll have everything you need. And if you need to subscribe, we're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher. Find it wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. All right, guys. Take care of yourself. Have a good Thursday. See you.